A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
I'm Ken Napsok.
And this is the first episode of The Clone Wars Report. Yeah, I was thinking that we needed to work on our impression of Tom Kane doing the hollow journalist report at the beginning. Podcast.
The galaxy is at podcast.
They're talking about Star Wars. How will the Jedi respond?
He's so good.
He's amazing. So good. Yeah, and I was talking to my friend Riley Silverman, who has been doing a deep dive on Clone Wars. Big Star Wars fan, but like many people, haven't watched it before and doing a deep dive. And she was like, man, when that voice started the first couple episodes, I was like, this is going to be annoying. I get it. You're a 1940s, you know, movie reel, but then absolutely fell in love with it, right? It is so adorable and wonderful.
It's a great choice and a brave choice. For new Star Wars in the theater in 08, that's you're hearing that for the first time.
Yeah.
Thinking, what?
Yeah.
I love it.
And just a great example of, hey, there's a lot of ways to approach the spirit of the crawl without literally doing That is our first compliment to Clone Wars. Here's what we're doing. We're going to be releasing these every Monday, just like we did with The Mandalorian. This Clone Wars report, we were originally like, hey, once the season 7 starts, we will just, you know, do an episode every Monday reviewing the episode. But there's so much wonderful things to say about the Clone Wars. Wars, we figured let's start a couple weeks early and just dive in. So one thing to mention right at the top is this is going to be full of spoilers about the previous seasons, right? So,
oh, definitely.
Know there are fans out there who have only watched bits and pieces or haven't watched it yet. Just a note, a warning that since we want to talk about the history and what's awesome about Clone Wars, hard to do that without a bunch of spoilers, right?
Absolutely. You know, Clone Wars is a big thing to go through. It's a big thing if you didn't watch it as it happened. We get a lot of what should I start with? What are some great arcs? And it's so overwhelming. Sometimes I just can't remember what season something was. And then you get the controversy over the release order.
Yeah.
And I still don't know the full I still don't know the full story on why Cartoon Network did that. I don't know if you do know that.
It wasn't Cartoon Network at all. It was George.
It was George.
So wonderful, endless story of who has better in what era planned Star Wars. Lucas, Disney, Lucasfilm, whatever. So I believe the interviews I've read with Filoni when people are like, why did you guys like in later seasons do an episode that set up the movie that started it all? And I believe Filoni, I'm paraphrasing, was just like, George likes prequels. I think a lot of it was George just going like, hey, you know what? We told this part of the Zero story, but we didn't tell that part. Wouldn't that be fun to do? Yeah. And so they're a little everywhere, why there's all the like, just watch them in the order that, you know, makes sense. So you don't get confused. Because I got my first viewing through, I didn't know, and I got real confused.
Yeah, I think I didn't realize I was confused. Meaning like, oh, okay, you just kind of tune in, you check in, and you're like, oh, wait a minute. I thought, and then it made sense once I learned. Well, there you go. George and his pencil and pad of paper.
That's bigger right. Answer. A new idea upsets the plan, but you can watch them in order. So this episode, Ken, you suggested to just start our discussion by celebrating Ahsoka, the triumph of Ahsoka Tano.
Absolutely. She is, I think, in the end, and I think season 7, we'll see. I think it's fair to say the Clone Wars series is her story in a way. Oh, there's a lot of other characters. There's so many things. But from start to finish, her character goes through perhaps the biggest growth. She is, of course, brand new to the story at the time. We're not overly familiar with it. There's the big what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we know she's not around. And I think in the end of the day, this becomes her journey through this section of Star Wars. So, yeah, I think as we get ready for season 7, and as you can tell by the trailer, she's all over that. I think it's important to focus on what I kind of think is the wonderful main character of this series.
Yeah, I think she's like the spine. And then Anakin and Obi-Wan are a leg each.
Definitely a leg each.
Yeah, and then arms are like Padme and maybe Hondo. Like, I'm overstretching this metaphor, but you know what I mean. Yeah, she really is the character that arcs through it all.
Yeah.
What body part do you think Hondo is?
Hondo might be a growth that starts off a little small, then it just keeps growing, and you didn't expect it to grow.
Yeah, and at first you think it's some sort of a malignant growth, but it ends up being a nice, fun, benign growth.
It's just a funny growth.
Just a funny growth that Hondo, the violent pirate, as he starts out in Clone Wars. So we're going to dive into Ahsoka, but I wanted to start our look back at Clone Wars in this episode 1 of Clone Wars Report with just sharing our basic journey with Clone Wars. What was your journey? When did you see the movie? When did you watch the show? When did you fall in love?
Did not see the movie in theaters. And I know you did. I can't wait to hear a little more of that story. I did not see it. I couldn't tell you why. 2008. I don't think there's no big reason. There was no like, I'm done with Star Wars.
It just wasn't a priority at that point.
Priority,
in your life.
And I was like a lot of people, animated Star Wars with the remake in that series. I just saw on little animated shorts by Tartakovsky. What's going on? So I just kind of ignored it. And then the series comes out, and I was there pretty much right from the beginning. That arc, the rise of the malevolence, which is I'm bad at saying
malevolence. I think
malevolence. Yeah. That one I remember thinking early on, that's very early in season 1. It's like, this is some great Star Wars action. Like, this is, and you know, I mean, we're going to talk about it. I had a lot of who's this Jedi girl making little quippy comments, and I don't know what's going on. Some of those things weren't hitting with me right away, but the action, I was like, whoa, this is space battles and Star, like, this is great. Did have a conversation with Harloff back in the day, because he wasn't immediately on board. I was like, check out this 3-episode arc. it's really cool Star Wars. And there was some...
Yeah, it's like space war battle strategy, yeah,
great
right?
Great sounds, Dooku, everything. And I got to tell you, the fact that that Plo Koon was focused on, I was just like, okay. And this is, you know, early on in the prequelist journey, but I was like, all right, I like that guy.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
Cool. Yeah, he sounds cool. Yeah.
That's cool. So it really started then. It kicked in a little bit later by three or four. I mean, the stories are really mattering and you're really invested in these characters. The love really was blossomed then, but it started early.
And you're watching week to week.
I did watch week to week back in the day. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember if I had a set of VCR. It was just so long ago.
Probably. Well, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe. Early. early DirecTV.
Early DirecTV.
Technology, yeah.
So this is appointment viewing.
You had to try to see it. Yeah, you had to try to see it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was a part of my journey. Yeah. So, I saw the movie in 2008. It was a new Star Wars movie. I wasn't not going to see it in the theater, but I did not have a great experience. And just want to assure people before I go into the dark times that I love the movie now, especially as it's just part of the whole show. And people are kind of hard on it, and I enjoy it quite a bit now, but in those dark moments in the theater, you got to get into the mindset of 2005, Star Wars is kind of done, right? Yeah. That's the end. George Lucas is like, I did it. I told the story. Mm. Then you start hearing rumblings like, ooh, there's going to be a live action television show about kind of how the Empire grows. And ooh, maybe some bounty hunters will show up. And that's really exciting and interesting in new territory.
Yeah.
And then the Clone Wars like, oh, okay, well, we just finished telling this story.
Yeah.
So I was really affected by, it's Anakin being kind of cocky and a little bit dangerous and Obi-Wan trying to hold him back. And I was affected didn't I just see this story? And I didn't dislike Ahsoka, but I was just like, where's this going? Will it work? That there was this huge relationship that we never heard about in the movies. And again, all things I love now, like the Kevin Kiner score, I love now because it's the theme to Clone Wars, but sitting in a theater in 2008, it was almost a Star Wars theme, but not like it's Lucasfilm. Could you not get the rights to your own music? So like that, it was just a little like, this is the Star Wars I know, but not, and it's not what I want. And then I have come around to it, but Zero the Hutt broke me. I now know that voice is meant to be a Truman Capote impression, but at the time I was just like, what is this and why? Right. So it so I was like, I'm glad it exists, but you know, it's not for me. And then I kept seeing and hearing cool little things about the show. I didn't have cable, so I couldn't watch it. I was like, well, eventually someday in some way I'll catch it.
Oh yeah.
But then I started seeing action figures, and it was I saw an action figure, a two pack of Kenobi and Maul. In the toy aisle. I was like, what's that about? What's up with Maul's legs? And I read the back, and this is how like disconnected I was.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Because I didn't know that he had been coming back. So, you know, fast forward a couple of years, my interest really gets peaked. Then it's all available on Netflix and I start binging it. And I was just like, oh my God. It's like one of the things that reminded me, like you were saying, of like, everything I loved about the prequels, but also just seeing everything that had been created by the prequel era. And by the time I got to the Maul fight with Pre Vizsla, it was like, Darth Maul's fighting a Boba Fett. Why is every Star Wars fan not out on the street screaming about this? This is so amazing. This is so cool. And I got so all in. And it was... it was actually a part of the train that led us together because I'd been watching Clone Wars.
Yeah.
My friend, the great comedian Jackie Cation, has her podcast where people talk about things they're obsessed with. Mm-hmm. And I said, I want to talk about how I actually really like the prequels and the prequel era of Star Wars.
Right.
And then, you know, when you and I met, I had talked about like, I just did this podcast. And you were like, well, maybe you could talk about that on Jedi Alliance. So
that's right.
It's kind of a direct line of my my reawakening of my Star Wars love leading us to this this great time in my life. And I hope yours, where we talk about Star Wars a lot.
Zero the Hutt is the focal point of the Force Center creation. And I remember that you referencing the podcast that you were on, Jackie's podcast. And so I didn't know. I mean, we're talking a couple year stretch there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But that's Clone Wars on Netflix. That's a bit into the run, right?
Oh, yeah. It was already done and had the bonus season. Didn't have... Yeah, I had the bad experience with the movie. It didn't have cable. But then when I went in, I was just like, man, I missed out watching it week to week. And I'm so happy to just be able to absolutely... Like, once Maul came back, I think I watched a season in like a day. Because it's like, all right, he's back. When's he going to fight Kenobi? When's he got to get through some episodes before it actually happens? I think there's some days where I watched like 12 episodes in a sitting.
Well, you know, I don't think I knew that detail that you came in a little bit later than I knew you watched the movie. That's inspiring for those out there who might feel a little overwhelmed and lost because they missed the Clone Wars.
Yeah,
it's out there. It's possible. Maybe now you have to get Disney Plus, not Netflix, or borrow some DVD sets. But it's rent them from the library. It's possible. And Star Wars, though overwhelming at times to jump in, you just have to jump.
Yeah. Like you got to go all in. And I was rewarded for it. So that is our background with the Clone Wars. Yeah. Now we sit here before you, both big fans. Yeah. So let's talk about the spine of the Clone Wars, Ahsoka Tano. So I want to start with just who do you think... she is. What do you think is the power of her character? How would you define her for yourself?
God, it's for myself. It's a weird perspective. It's one of the first times I know I didn't immediately connect with a character from my direct point of view, and I watched it from a different point of view. So I felt immediately protective of this character, invested in this character for others and her, and then found myself moved by stories later on. So for me, I think Ahsoka represents, you talk about the spine, this is a story of the Clone War. This is a story of fighting and the stars George loves. And she is the one, the outsider perspective of looking at what it all means, looking at the Jedi involvement, why are we generals? And you can ask all those important questions through her eyes because she's exploring that as she goes along. I love some of her losses. I love some of the things that affect her that open her up to this kind of real world and not, and I don't look at it like a cynical, like, them's the breaks kids, but you get to see she's 13 or so, you know, she's 13 as we would refer to it. I don't know if there's a, you know, Torguta's a different aging process or if it means, but she's 13 year old kid.
Yeah.
And to go through that, plus you get to watch a lot of Anakin, and that's what I think is real powerful in Rebels when you come back to that, to their connection. You see a lot of Anakin's fall, and that idea for me of, whoa, why would they give Anakin a Padawan between Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith? What? Suddenly you got to have, not that you need her to tell his story, but because you see it through her eyes, his fall even makes more sense to me. His connections, and I'm sure we'll talk about the final moments they have in the series, but it's like, it makes it more than just anger Anakin. It just like, there's other things bubbling up in him and that she's discovered and sharing and teaching him in the end. So I think, that's how I view the character.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
It does. It does. Absolutely. It's one of the things that people, I think, pretty, often bring up is what they really like as seeing, about the show overall is seeing these other sides of Anakin and seeing this sort of likable big brother whose affection is a great trait until it tips into rage.
Yeah.
And definitely Ahsoka helps tell that story. I think for me, who Ahsoka is when I really reflect, because it's easy to just say like, hey, she's a Padawan and she learns from Anakin and Plo Koon and Obi-Wan Kenobi and she grows. But when you start to like boil down like her essential traits, it seems to me like who she is a picture of a human Jedi, not literally human. She's Togruta. Yeah. But, you know, in the movies, we get Luke, who doesn't really know what's what about being a Jedi. We get Obi-Wan, who does definitely have character. He's grumpy. He doesn't like politicians. He can be, a little stuck up sometimes. All these things. We get Anakin, who is really anxious and dealing with anger. But the rest of the Jedi, if you just watch the movies, like, Mace is more serious than the rest of them. But, you know, what's Ki-Adi-Mundi's character? What's Plo Koon's character? Yoda, again, we get some specifics, but for your rank and file Jedi, I feel like Ahsoka is this great view into all of these Jedi are different and they do have personalities.
Yeah.
And we learn that she is, well, you know, feisty and really compassionate and really eager in all of these things that I think are super relatable to anybody. If you imagine you were 13 and got to be a Jedi, and as her character grows and develops, I think the reason I think of her as like the perfect human Jedi is that she learns some of these, she observes some of these traits in Anakin and even Obi-Wan that she has herself, like issues of attachment and issues of anger and issues of questioning the Jedi. But she handles them.
Yeah.
Like, she handles them better than almost any Jedi that we get to see, because she gets to learn lessons about attachment and go, okay, well, it's not bad to care about people.
Yeah.
But here's where maybe taking it too far could lead you. Or, oh, yeah, it's natural to be attracted to people. Right. But here's where it also might go too far. And she just, to me, ends up being this character who has all of the similar experiences to some of the Jedi that we've seen, particularly Anakin,
right?
But finds a way to be a true Jedi while acknowledging all of these, you know, great human, honest human traits of anger and attraction and jealousy and ambition. She has all those, but they're all positive. They're all good.
She doesn't tap into necessary rage.
She doesn't go dark side, you know? And it's presented, you know, many times in a jokey way of like, oh, you're Anakin's apprentice, so of course you do everything risky and weird in your own way.
Right.
And like, well, yeah, she's inventive and clever and questions things. And where Anakin, it's his fall. It's like, no, that's just, that's who she is. And those are strengths.
Yeah, all these strength. I love what you said, that she goes through all these kind of real things that it's fair to question the Jedi on, that Lucas wanted to question the Jedi on. We see where it ends up. But it's just, it's not done in a cheap way. It's not done with that, you know, we'll say that gray Jedi title. It's someone working through and how you can come out the other side. And she becomes herself in the end, but is almost more of a pure Jedi than anyone else around. Maybe Obi-Wan, but you know.
I think Obi-Wan's the good Jedi who does what he's told, and I think Ahsoka questions, you know, which is a triumph for her, and you know, all sorts of great things about Ahsoka's character to pull out. But let's move on to favorite story. Do you have a favorite Ahsoka story in the Clone Wars?
It's her final ones. It's the framing of her for the crime, the learning that her friend, did that and the pain of that, but one and so it's her final arc. But one of my favorite little moments of it is when she has to go down and she's 13, she's down in the underworld or whatever, on Coruscant, and just running into Asajj Ventress and noting that they have to work with each other because they are each other in a way. They've been abandoned several times over now. And I thought it was a real powerful moment. Asajj, you can talk a lot about Asajj, but Asajj with Dooku, and now, you know, the Jedi have cast her out. And I don't know, there's something. So this is the big one, the headline that everyone's going to go to, but her walking away, still, it's powerful. It's maddening because you're looking at the all-star Jedis gathered around her. I mean, Obi-Wan's there, Plo Koon, the one who found her, the one who discovered her, and they're all just like, ha-ha, kidding.
Sorry.
You passed your test.
In fact, that was your Jedi trial when we let the Republic unfairly put you on actual trial.
Yeah, and for them, and the fact that in that, Anakin was willing to stand up to her, stand up for her, Padme too. So that just is a very powerful thing. Along the way, some of the Lux Bonteri stuff is some of my favorite. Getting down because her connection with the clones too. I like a lot of her work. It's why it makes so much sense in Rebels, and I think we're gonna see that pay off great in 7. Looking ahead to season 7, that one's there. And we're trying to stick to Clone Wars, but I love her and Vader. In Rebels.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
epic. So,
yeah, insanely great. Yeah, it's really interesting to me that a lot of the things that you are episodes that you're talking about are about her compassion.
Yeah.
About like her healthy compassion, like being able to see common ground with Asajj, who's been a dangerous enemy. Right.
Problem.
Somebody
who
has tried to actually kill her.
Yeah.
Before, and still have that compassion to see from her point of view. Ahsoka can try to see from Asajj's point of view. And and as you go through it, it's interesting how many bonds Ahsoka has, right?
Right.
That we do see new dynamics with Padme because of Ahsoka's connection to her.
Yeah.
And it's a huge part of the Clone Wars story that these clones are individuals. Yoda mm-hmm. tells them in the first actual episode that you are unique in the Force.
Mm.
And Ahsoka's bond with them and growth with them and the fact that she can kind of grow up in war but not be entirely conditioned by it is really powerful. So all those relationships are great. For me, favorite Ahsoka story, a couple of them. Lightsaber Lost is an episode that I absolutely love because we do get a lot of episodes early on where Ahsoka is absolutely a likable character, a relatable character, but because she's a young person growing up, we get to see her just make mistakes and have flaws. And Lightsaber Lost is an episode all about her being impatient and wanting to be in the battle and then having to be told, like, you know, just go hang out and, you know, do boring stuff and lose your lightsaber, be stuck with this
detention
with extremely slow Jedi of Tara Sanube.
Yeah.
And it's just that really classic morality tale of, she thinks he's really slow, but he is just waiting for the exact right moment. And when he needs to whip out his awesome lightsaber cane and move fast, he does. And to get her to just slow down and think, you know, and it's awesome, awesome story to get to watch her learn these lessons and really feel them.
While you're talking, too, I was thinking, and I'll be honest, I'm scrolling through the Clone Wars episodes to try to get some of the episode titles. I apologize. Should have had that more research. But you just made me think of the one where she, the Gathering one, which is it immediately, you know, you get this turnaround with Ahsoka. She gets to pass on what she's already learned and seen her outside of having Kenobi or Anakin around and in a major way, just having her involved and then it goes off into that whole other kind of storyline. I thought that was her, Ahsoka's teacher, was interesting to watch.
That's so great, because that was the other arc I was going to mention, is the whole,
I just swiped it from you, is what you're saying.
We share it. Yes.
Share
It's great.
Yeah.
No, the Gathering arc, not only do you get to meet all these Padawans, you get to see the actual process of picking lightsabers, but we are segueing into Ahsoka's a little bit older, and now that you get to see that great Jedi cycle of, like, as soon as you're not a student, you're kind of a teacher, even if you don't literally have a Padawan yourself, even if you haven't crossed to the rank of Jedi Knight. If you are an older Padawan, an experienced Padawan, you are supposed to be there for other people.
Right.
So to see her get to have that transition and do everything in her power to protect the Padawans when they get raided by Hondo, when he's still a horrifying threat, is so great for her character. And then there's just so much in that entire arc that is great. You get Professor Huyang, who helps them make the lightsabers, and you get the weird circus with Gamorreans dressed as clowns.
Yes.
All sorts of things in that arc. But more than anything, you get, like, what is a healthy level of attachment?
Yeah.
You know, the Jedi aren't just cold, and Ahsoka's not like, well, loss is natural, so bye, Padawan. Like, she's going to do everything she possibly can to save them, and they're going to do everything they possibly can to save her, and they're all going to kind of grow as students and masters in the process. Yeah. It's such a great arc for all of those kind of Jedi teachings.
Perfect. I'm glad we share it.
So what do you think is the cultural impact of Ahsoka? Why is she so beloved by so many Star Wars fans?
I think you can go down several different paths. So if I go down one first, you know, there's others to go. I think there is the entry. This is the entry point to Star Wars for a lot of people. You and I have talked about that a lot. I love running into people at conventions who are like, you know, I didn't see Star Wars till I saw the Clone Wars.
Yeah.
It's like, whoa, that blows my mind in the most wonderful way. So she is positioned as the main character. So you're going to be connected to her. And I think that is why there's such passion and fans of hers and connected to her. Just in general, it's like, hey, Anakin and Obi-Wan, they're, you know, we're over here like, those are our people from our movies, and she is theirs.
Yeah.
There's definitely the impact of a young female ahead of it all, and that's going to lead to an entire generation of female Star Wars fans who are just going to gravitate to her. But I just think because she's the point of view, you're just going to naturally feel much like we feel with Luke or, you know, yeah. Ray, wouldn't that Ray or things or someone now. Like, I think that's the big impact just on the surface for me.
Yeah.
What she means to a generation of fans.
Yeah. I think that's a great way of saying it. So many Star Wars stories do start with the young person going on the hero's journey.
Yep.
And she's got a really different hero's journey because, well, she's already in the middle of the action in a way because she's already been, you know, at the Jedi Temple since she was a youngling and Plo Koon found her.
Yeah.
So it's different than Anakin and Luke, you know, longing for adventure. She is already in the midst of it, longing to be a good Jedi, whatever that actually is going to end up meaning to her in the midst of this war, you know, and however that's going to come through the teachings of Anakin and the presence of Obi-Wan and all that. So she's got the classic hero's arc, but in a little bit of a different perspective.
It's almost as if, I mean, follow me here. Like if that is your first Star Wars, say you're 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever, 13, you watch Clone Wars and suddenly you are aware that there's this larger world of a Star Wars franchise, but you don't know. You know, so you're not learning in 77 like us. You're right in the middle of it like her. You're in the middle of it. And you're like, well, I know I'm a Jedi. I know Star Wars exists. But what is it to me? And how do I figure it out? So and again, in a way, it is an entire generation of fans specific journey through Star Wars as a whole.
Yeah.
That might explain why some of them are connected to her even more powerfully.
Yeah. And I think the fact that she is a young woman, you kind of can't say enough about that. You know, we obviously did have lots of amazing women characters of Leia and Padme and, you know, Mara Jade in the books and others, you know, many other characters. But to see in such a long story, in such an ongoing story, not only another woman character, but, you know, a woman Jedi.
Yeah.
And all of Clone Wars, you know, Ahsoka being such a main central character means that on screen, we're seeing women interact with other women as well. We see Ahsoka having relationships with Padme and Asajj and, you know, is powerful and is amazing as Leia is. You know, she looks at Mon Mothma once, right? Like there isn't room for that other dynamic to just, you know, make a woman character be just totally interactive with everything that is Star Wars and have relationships and just, you know, broaden the perspective of Star Wars so much. I think growing up with her is another reason, you know, if depending on people's age.
Yeah.
You know, if you hit them at the right time, they're like, well, I'm about this age.
Yeah.
You know, and I am impatient at school and I have a wise old teacher who is kind to me and shows me how to slow down the same effing week that I see lightsaber lost. That's an extra big power, right? And if you know, by the time this is coming out, you're like, well, I'm an adult in the world and I am teaching kids, you know, now.
You're also explaining why Wonder Years was so powerful to me because it literally ran every year. It's the same as my school year. So.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think a girl like dumped me the same week that Winnie dumped. I could sing a few bars of that tune.
Wonder Years Center coming next here on Force Center.
And then my final thing for the cultural impact is, the more I think about it, I think kind of regardless of what age you are when you see it or any other connection you might have to Ahsoka, she's our best what if you were a Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you get Ezra, but he's outside of the system and has a, you know, a totally different experience. But she's in the system the way it's supposed to go, you know, obviously during the war. So that's in towards the end. So that's different. But just the, hey, what if you were a kid and you felt impatient and you wanted to impress people and you got kind of tempted by the excitement of violence and you were taking in all of this stimulus and still trying to be a Jedi and think through every choice and make sure that you do what is right. And the fact that she retains so much personality, such a sense of humor, such a sense of humanity, and doesn't become any sort of like stiff, removed, you know, monk-like presence. You mean, even in Rebels, she does have a little bit of that, like, it's a dark time, I've been through a lot, I'm a little quieter, a little wiser. She still has that humanity. So I think she's just such a great reflection of, what if you were a Jedi? What if Ken Namsok, who likes 7-Eleven and rum, was a Jedi? And like, and you don't, in sports, and you don't have to remove those things.
Yeah.
That are part of your personality, you incorporate them into the larger idea of what it what it is to be a Jedi. Being a Jedi isn't shutting off who you are.
Right.
It's working with who you are. And Ahsoka, I think, is our best storytelling example of that.
That's what you've just described to me is the best putting the finger on the pulse of the whole thing around her. And that includes Ashley Eckstein.
Yeah.
And Ashley Eckstein stepping out, you know, in front of the character in a lot of ways, to the side. Ashley would not stand in front of Ahsoka. But, you know, and launching her universe and everything, and just how it all does kind of roll into one. And she does such a great job with what you've just described as an actor in that booth, keeping that from, you know, she does grow up from Snips, but she still Snips. She's still Snips. She's just been through it.
Yeah.
And yeah, Rebels, it's a different thing. That's you know, years and years and years. And the world is once again at stake. But I think that's explains to the love for the character. And Filoni knows this, and Filoni taps into it. You know, mind you, you know, George comes to him and says, hey, I'd like to help, you know, help you create this character. And it's something that George wanted. And Filoni was right there, and he's very protective of this character. But because he keeps always wanting to finish her story, and who knows right now if we're done. I don't think we are. But the way he plays around with it, because he knows everything about that, how she looks, how she's designed and everything. It's like it's just people gravitate to it, and a lot of it because of what you said. She isn't even Luke. What happens to Luke? Power station kid becomes all dressed in black, and I will tell you a story about what you're my sister, and I'm serious. Like, you know, that you're right. You're so right. I never really thought of it in terms of that. She's still partying in a good way.
Still partying in a great way. Yeah. Yeah. So some ideas on the cultural impact of Ahsoka. Let's talk a little bit about the future of Ahsoka. What do we want or hope for her story in this final season of The Clone Wars?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Well, I mean, this is where it gets really big, right? And it's only a short time jump, really. You know, what do we have? Clone Wars itself, 3 years? I forget the canon timeline. So if we're, you know, her adventures are squished into two big years of fighting, disappears for a certain time. What was I want to see who has emerged, because it might be this perfect crossover between what you've described and what we also talked about, what we get in Rebels.
Yeah.
And in a matter of a couple of years, the maturity that's hit, the experience, the loss, the pain, the self-identity, and wanting to know, I do believe she leaves the Jedi Order to become herself. Does she get to answer that? Has she answered that yet?
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking forward to. And cool fights.
Yeah, for sure. Cool fights.
I mean, hope she kicks Maul's ass.
And I think that we kind of know what's going to happen if you've read the Ahsoka novel.
If you've paid attention, you might know that his future is not bright.
Yeah, yeah. And the real specifics in the beginning of the Ahsoka novel. Anyway, there's a lot of Star Wars to pay attention to. I love that in the trailer, and a little bit of behind-the-scenes stuff that we saw at Star Wars Celebration that I can't remember how much of that has been made public.
Right, right.
That there's definitely an element of just like, all right, philosophically, what do I do? But also, like, where am I going to live? What am I going to physically do? How do I, like, so I'm excited to look at it from, see some episodes that are really just like, so you quit the Jedi Temple. What do you do now? You know,
what are apartment rents like on Coruscant?
There's no pamphlet for Ahsoka to take, you know. So there's that practical level.
Look, if she picks up a shift at Dexter's Diner, I'm all for it. All for it.
Yeah. Here's a pamphlet. So the Jedi let you down. but I am also excited to see her really wrestle with the if not a Jedi, who? Mm-hmm. Because it's not. I don't think it's that she is rejecting all of their teachings. Mm-hmm. I think it's that she's saying, you are falling down on what you taught me.
Yeah.
And I can't be a part of it.
Yeah.
So it I don't think it's gray Jedi, because, you know, no, you and I have talked about that a lot. I think it's much more about, I'm so interested to see how she's going to define herself. Obviously, we've got the, I'm no Jedi cool line in Rebels, but that's a while later.
Right.
So for the sake of this, for the sake of ending her arc within the Clone Wars, obviously we know that she agrees to, one would assume in various leaks, that she agrees to work with them.
Yeah.
At least to help Anakin.
Right.
In some way with Mandalore events. But how much for herself? She's like, well, I don't need a label. These are the ideas that mean something to me, and I'm going to continue pursuing them. And if my interests align with the Jedi, then I'll work with the Jedi. But, you know, I think they've lost their way.
I'm so well said. I'm so curious. Any final moments between her and Anakin in the series?
Yeah.
And, you know, we are led to believe this is going to go right up to the events of Revenge of the Sith and potentially past it.
Yeah, we're gonna discuss this more on the main show.
Main show.
So so that discussion's a coming.
That discussion is down the pipeline. So what you're talking about, like, is there going to be another moment of like, no, I still don't need this, because the war's still going, right? You know, we still got the Revenge of the Sith movie to get through. Does she like, nope, I know who I am now, and it ain't this. I don't know.
Yeah, and how does Order 66 change things for her, because we're obviously going to be dealing with that because this is the clone story as well, and she's tied into that. And does that make her say, you know, I think there's some stuff in the Ahsoka novel about this, of like feeling guilt of like, could I have helped prevent this if I stayed?
Yeah.
You know,
I'm definitely telling my listeners to read that.
Yeah. I'm like, hey, I made the right choice to walk away from them because, you know, look at the mistakes that were being made. But, yeah. You know, that's a great way to pull at ideas of attachment and loyalty and things like that. So I'm really interested in that. I also, you talk about the final moments with Anakin.
Mm.
That could be a really great bittersweet ending of what she thinks happened to Anakin, what she feels about Anakin, you know, what she even feels in the Force. Does she feel him die in the Force, you know? And it's a great way to look at that whole dark side idea of, you know, oh, I didn't just change outfits.
Yeah.
I killed who I was. That person's dead.
What is interesting to me in that regard is what we get with her and Anakin when she walks away at the end of season five, right? Season five. Yeah. Yeah, Filoni still felt he had time.
Yeah.
So to me, I'm really excited. This isn't a, oops, I gave them a last moment. Now I must add it in again.
He always planned more, right?
Planned it. So it's going to be real poignant. I'm really looking forward to that. I hope they get that. They will.
Yeah, I think a lot of the majority of what this season is has been planned for a long time. Yeah. So even some of it might be George ideas, which is really exciting.
It is.
Yeah. You know, I was going to say one other thing about her cultural impact that you remind me of. There's something powerful about a character that is lodged in moments of Star Wars canon where you know that they have a date with tragedy.
Mm, yeah.
Like you watch that first Clone Wars movie and like she seems full of life.
Mm.
What's going to happen to her?
Yeah.
You know, at the end of Clone Wars. And then you're getting that in Rebels right away, too, of like, well, she's going to face Vader. She's not around the original trilogy. This is a character that is so full of life.
Yeah.
That constantly has this specter of tragedy hanging over her. I think makes her it's another reason that she becomes a fascinating character to us.
Yeah, now it's really hanging over us, right? Because her voice is at the end of Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah.
So, it's always going to be there. Death is hanging over Ahsoka.
Eventually, she may have to move into the Force. Do you have hopes for a live action Ahsoka?
I have mixed hopes. I would love to see it. I'm all on board if it's done right. And you could, there's a lot of performers you could put in that get up. And I'd be like, I'm on board with this. The reality is most actors who get pushed in that voiceover category aren't going to get the chance to play their characters in live action. Very rarely does that happen. So this is not a comment on Ashley Eckstein's skills as a live action performer. But I don't think she'd get the chance to do it. And that is why really, really more than almost any other character I can think of that is animated more than live action, I have mixed feelings about seeing it. I almost just want to keep it animated.
Okay. So, yeah, I think I'm in a similar boat. Ashley Eckstein has become, is the character, right? And because she has been an ambassador, not only of this character, but of Star Wars with her universe. And, you know, my wife's been reading her book. Mm. That to see just some actor, no matter how amazing, no matter how well cast, and not Ashley Eckstein. Yeah, I think I am kind of in the camp of I would obviously watch if it was not Ashley Eckstein, but I would be most excited for live action if it was Ashley Eckstein.
Yeah. That's just tough. It's just the reality of the business sometimes. You know, Joseph and I, we both know people in the voiceover business. It's like, they're making a movie of that. I ain't going to be allowed to even touch it.
Nope.
And that's just what it is. So Rosario Dawson, totally. Brie Larson, that one wild rumor, totally. Like, I'm excited. It'd be a little bit of like,
But Ashley Eckstein.
She's done such a good job.
Yeah.
So.
Do you have any eras of Ahsoka's known story that you would be interested in seeing?
But somehow between episode 6 and 7. Yeah, I just put it out. Put it so far out that I don't. That even for me, it'd be easier to be like, oh yeah, she's grown up, so it's not Ashley. It doesn't do that. And I'm not going to get I'm not going to get hung up on that completely, even if they do a movie, you know, another time period. But just so you know, we can get that. Plus, then we can maybe get some big answers.
Answers, okay, yeah. And there, obviously, there are the rumors that there's going to be in a Ahsoka Sabine searching for Ezra animated series, which I think that makes sense.
All of it makes sense, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I want that all that eventually. But the live action thing that excites me is the idea of her having some more adventures as Fulcrum. Before A New Hope. And you know, it seems like such a perfect Ahsoka story to be like, well, I am actively resisting the Empire. Mm-hmm. I am trying to bring people together. I know that I will kind of put people in risk by revealing myself too much, but mm-hmm. there are situations where my compassion will dictate that I help, that I do something. And to see just a kind of a short adventure of, hey, I really can't expose myself as a light side force user too much, but I need to act in this situation somewhere during the dark times. It's a little bit what's going on in the Ahsoka novel, but that's so much about her kind of getting on her feet and redefining herself immediately after.
Could you be, I mean, I think we'd both be interested, but could you see her popping up in a Cassian or Kenobi? And that's been talked about before, but now even now diving into it more as Fulcrum, does it work to have her reach out to Obi-Wan at any point? Would that upset the apple cart of canon too much for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Kenobi thing, the only thing that really hinges for me on the Kenobi thing is, what did Kenobi know about Vader and when did he know it?
Yeah.
Because I do want to preserve that in Rebels, it is a fear, a suspicion, but ultimately a revelation to Ahsoka that Vader is Anakin.
Yep.
Right. So that's depending on how you handle that, of course. Yeah. And their relationship is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
In that he is not her Jedi Master when she was a Padawan, but obviously they spent an incredible amount of time together. And what do they think of each other now? And what do they think of this situation now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, fascinating. The Cassian one, like, yeah, he's a spy.
It works more for me.
She runs rebel cells. Yes, please. Even if it's they don't want to deal with the live casting and her voice.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Over a comm link. Yes, please. I'm all in for that.
Little thing on that. Yeah, I think I'm more excited. Would be more excited for the Cassian one, maybe a little less nervous. With the Kenobi one, and I just don't think it will happen, but like the temptation would be like, get the band back together. we get three lightsabers. Go, 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 go. Yeah. And how would you not justify that not happening or whatever? That's things that they would be, it would be in their minds. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. We're going to have one more fun question, but before we wrap up with the fun question, do you have any final Ahsoka thoughts for this first episode of the Clone Wars Report?
I have just always said this is quickly became one of my top five favorite Star Wars characters just because her journey was real powerful, the ending of that, and how they answered the question that you said that I had along with everyone. Well, she's got it. Die, right? And the way they answered it, and it surprised me, and it kind of blew me away, and it moved me, and it teaches me, and to grow with the character, and again, and my view of the character change of protective, go get him little snips to, I can learn from you now.
Yeah.
It was real valuable and important and emotional times for me as a Star Wars fan. And I think she's a great designed character. I think she just looks good. She's a good figure, like an action figure. Like you look at that on the shelf, you're like, ooh, Star Wars, the double bladed, that cool thing we're always kind of need in Star Wars.
And there's like a cool athleticism, acrobatic, gets to really lean into the sort of acrobatic style of fighting and the two lightsabers. So awesome. So much that's just like surface level. That's awesome. Star Wars stuff about her, as well as being this character who, even within the arc of the Clone Wars, is just this great story of the student becoming the master, right?
Absolutely.
Which is kind of what you're saying. So yes, Ahsoka, student to master, and so many fun journeys in between. Here's our final fun question. If Ahsoka was real and we could ask her one question, what might it be? You know what? I'll go first so we can close on your answer.
Okay.
I thought of a deeper question and then a surface level question. The surface level question that the nerd in me would just blurt out is, did you ever meet Luke Skywalker? Because that is, she has so many fans have talked about this. She has such perspective on Anakin. And if she, obviously she is around at the end of the Galactic Civil War. So there is the possibility, like, what would that be for Luke? How does that change his understanding of his father, of the Jedi Order? How does it affect Ahsoka to see, like, this young man yeah. who is so much like,
yeah.
her, you know, what kind of relief or joy does Ahsoka experience getting to hear Luke say,
yeah.
your master came back, your real master, Anakin, came back, you know?
Yeah.
So much juicy stuff there. And then the other thing I'd ask her is just what she thinks the most important trait of a Jedi is.
Mm.
Because she is a character who has had to wrestle with this.
Yeah.
And reject some of the actions of the Jedi.
Mm.
That gets wrestled with a lot of like, well, here are the obvious mistakes the Jedi made, but where were they right? What is the thing that you're like, nope, this is, I've carried this with me through my entire life. This is a trait the Jedi were correct about.
Oh, that's wonderful deep stuff.
Yeah.
I don't have deep stuff. I was just going to ask her, can you teach me how to fight with two blades? I was going to ask her, does Count Dooku smell like high karate cologne? And things like that.
I think that's a deep philosophical question in its own way.
But I'm going to go with, what's the trait the Jedi need to remember that they had the most? Because I really do love that what you said earlier, too. It wasn't that she was like, F you, Jedi, I'm out, which she had a right to do.
Yeah.
It was, the things you taught me, you're not even doing. So look at it. That's an important perspective.
Yeah. So there you go. Those are the two biggest questions we'd ask. What is the most important trait of a Jedi? And what does Count Dooku smell like? Two things that the community really, demands to know.
They really exquisite pajamas? Are they really?
How exquisite are? Did you ever see those exquisite pajamas? Did you sense them in the Force? Well, that is it for our first episode of Clone Wars Report. Ken, where can people find you and all your adventures?
Oh, please go to kennapsack.com.
Please. He's offering you his hand. Are you going to take it?
Or just follow me at Ken Napsack across most social media platforms. I'm trying to think.
Are you on Byte, the new Vine?
I'm not on Byte, and I'm not on TikTok.
Luke Block.
I used to be on Vine. Oh, boy, you're putting a lot of... Oh, no. Follow me on Friendster.
Exactly. And you can find me on LO and Peach.
Were you on Peach?
I was on Peach. Yeah, I still have my weird notification I took a photo of somebody caked you on Peach. Like, I don't think I want to be on Peach anymore. I don't want to get caked by people I don't know. I don't even know what that means. So you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw. And you can look up all my other adventures on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. And of course, you can find Force Center on Twitter and Facebook as Force Center Pod and engage with our community there. You can check out our Patreon, patreon.com/Force Center, for access to monthly bonus episodes and our great Discord room where we have a lot of Star Wars fans getting excited about a lot of things, but in particular, getting excited about Clone Wars. That is it for myself, for Ken, for the whole Force Center community, and for Ahsoka Tano. That is the Clone Wars Report.
Step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out for a chance to win the French Open title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV, live in HD. Don't miss a moment with daily live coverage and match replays on demand, beginning Monday, May 20th. Be there for all the unforgettable moments. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.